All right, Psalm chapter 40. We're going to stand just for a few moments. I'm going to read just a few verses here. I heard it said a long time ago that you can't really appreciate the good news unless you understand the bad news. And so the reality is that the judgment of God is coming. There's a good news regarding that. And look at Psalm 40. I'm going to preach something I'm going to call the great need for contemporary music. The great need for contemporary music. Now, if you know what the word contemporary means, it's simply a word that means new. You know, in religion, we come up with words that make us feel like we know some. I know when I went to a worldly Bible college, I was looking at the course it says, and they said, this course called Hermeneutology. Well, that means the doctrine of sin. And I said, why not just say the doctrine of sin? They had a course that said Pneumatology. I thought, man, that sounds powerful. It's just a doctrine of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so the Bible word here for new here, and the word contemporary means new. And so we're going to preach about new songs and the great need for contemporary music or a great need for new music. And you'll see that basically I'm just preaching Psalm 40 in a moment. But I've got your attention now. Amen. Psalm 40, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. If you understand what that's like, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Out of the miry clay, He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify yourself through preaching. Allow yourself to be seen. And help the need for this new song to be impermeated in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. Just some simple thoughts here. You know, like I said, I was at a great conference this weekend. And whenever I go somewhere, hear a lot of preaching, I have so many things on my mind. I really just wanted to come and preach every message that I heard over the past couple of days. And I probably should have just brought the recorder and just played them out here, you know. Maybe we might do that sometime. Maybe some of them were really a blessing. And there was only one message, really, that was directed toward men in general. And even that one was really applicable to everybody. You know, you talked about what men are expected to be. And but thank God for good preaching. So I just got up early this morning, just started reading my Bible. I said, Lord, just show me what would be a help and a blessing. And this is just in my daily Bible reading. But what we're looking at today is a new song here. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, thank God that God hears our cry. I thank God that back in 1993, on a Wednesday morning, the Lord heard my cry and He saved my soul. I love this song called I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, you know, and I changed the words, you know, because of that second verse. And I sing it was a cold day in January back in 1993. You know the song. That's when the Holy Ghost of heaven rightly got a hold of me. That's when I repented of my sin and Jesus came within. And since then, I've been on the battlefield for my Lord. But the Bible says here also, and this is David testifying of how the Lord delivered him. It says He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Miry clay, you know, it's not stable. It's moving around almost like quicksand. And He set my feet upon a rock, and David said he gave me something that the whole world, most of the world, knows nothing about. He established His goings. You know, I remember talking to Brother Lindblom one time, and he's been preaching, I think, longer than I've been alive. And I said, what advice would you give to a young preacher if you could tell me something, you know? And he said, he quoted from Proverbs, man's goings are of the Lord. How can he understand his own way? And basically he said, you know, our goings are of the Lord. He said, don't waste a lot of time trying to figure out what God is doing. He said, trust him. And because God's right. And so David said, when he brought me out of this pit, he established, he set in order my goings. And David, being a man after God's own heart, he just followed the heart of God. Didn't battle with a lot of things. But then he tells us in verse 3 what we're going to talk about the next few moments. He hath put a new song in my mouth. First thing I want you to know is about a new song has a heavenly origin. A new song has a heavenly origin. Because David said, God put it there. You know, I remember a few years ago, I can't remember how old Michael was, but God gave him a song. And I listened to it occasionally. I have it on my computer. It's called He's Waiting for You. And he just talks about how he's waiting for you to serve him and serve everything. You probably may not even remember that. Had you forgotten that? Do you remember that? And God put that there. And he didn't realize that God was dealing with his heart. He's waiting for you and to trust him and to serve him and to long for him. And I can think of different songs that my daughters have written different times that God put on their hearts. They had an origin. Some came from a message they heard and something, and they shared those different songs. But a new song has an heavenly origin. It's not something that we conquer in the flesh or come with in the flesh. It comes directly from God. Second thing I want you to notice is, number two, a new song is personal. Because David said he put in my mouth. He put the song in my mouth. So it's a personal song. It comes directly into your being. And David said, this pit he brought me out of, it was so marvelous, and it was so deep, and it had me so stuck, and it was so, my life was so unsettled. God brought me out of this pit, and as he brought me out of the pit, made it so good, he put something in my mouth to remind me of the pit I came out of. He put a new song there. And next thing you want you to notice very simply, a new song is also praiseful. Because he said this new song is different than other song. They said this even praise unto our God. I was thinking about when I was in the United States Military Academy. I remember I finally had a day, a Saturday, had a few hours finally after all the intense training, and we had a few moments of free time. I finally managed to follow the rules enough not to be in trouble and have a few hours of free time, because if you got demerits, whether you just have a piece of land on your uniform, they just killed all your free time. And I remember going to the library, and I got a Whitney Houston record. If some of you don't know what those are, I got a Whitney Houston record, a James Ingram record, and I was listening to their music, and it was sad songs, but I was sad. And you know, and it's funny how when you're in the world. You listen to stuff where you're at. You don't listen to really anything to try to take you where you're at. And I sat there in the library, and I bawled like a baby listening to all that sad music. and I looked back on that experience years ago, and I thought, why did I do that? I mean, here I was depressed, I was discouraged, I was thinking, why in the world did I sign on the line for this? And I just went down deeper. But you know, most of the world's songs are not songs of complete victory. There are songs, because the Bible says ye are complete in him. Now, is that Bible true? If you know your Bible, is that true? Now, if you're complete, that means you're not lacking anything, are you? That means you have everything. But the majority of the songs that come from the world, they deny that completeness. It's almost like we have to just kind of settle for something when the Bible says that we are complete in him, and the Bible says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. We have everything in Christ. And David said, this pit God brought me out of, God gave me a new song that testifies. In fact, it praises God that I have everything in him. And I wrote down a definition of praise here, and you know what it is probably, but it says an expression of gratitude for personal favors. And we said the new song is personal. It is also a glorifying. It means to applaud. It means to magnify, and I like this part, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. See, the song that God puts there, he glorifies him on account of his personal, catch this now, personal perfections, his personal works that he does. And the need for this new song is, we need a song of praise, and God gives it to every single person that really has truly been born again. Because if you really are saved, you really understand you couldn't save yourself. You tried your best. Maybe you tried your best. Maybe you didn't even try for a while. Depending on what background you're from, You just did your own thing, and then you recognized the great need that you were headed for damnation and destruction, and you understood the great love of God, that He allowed His only begotten Son to shed His blood for you, and to sacrifice and to suffer your shame and your hell and destruction in your place. And you understood by the Word of God and the Spirit of God that God said, if you just believe the payment, the propitiation of Jesus Christ is the Bible word for it, and you believe that, He'll save you. If you believe that payment is sufficient, you will be saved, you'll be born again. You know, it's just like when you go to the store and you have money and you know it's real money, you exchange it for goods. You pick everything, whatever you want within that bill that you may have, and then you place it on the counter, believing that you're going to exchange and have that. That's the faith of salvation. You know, most faith religiously is like my wife and I several years ago when we really struggled a lot financially. And sometimes, I thought of a new recent experience, but you have a card, and you take that card somewhere, you put your goods on the counter, and you patiently wait, and you hoping to see the words accepted instead of the words declined. That's the way most people's faith is. And they're hoping it's going to, I hope God accepts this. But in your mind, there's some faint possibility that it just may be declined. You know, but that's not the song that God puts in your heart. God puts a true song of deliverance, because the Bible says, "For I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." When God saves, He does it forever. And that song that God puts in your heart is a song of praise for His perfection that He did. God perfectly made me one of His children. Does that mean I do everything absolutely right? Absolutely not. But it made me perfectly secure of the fact that I never have to wonder if I'm His or not. You know, one of the most shameful things, I've never been to watch a program of it, but I've sometimes in a hotel lobby if I'm traveling, I don't know what show it is, and I don't want to know because you might look it up. But one of the greatest, it seems like it was a hot thing, because I've seen it several times going to different hotel lobbies, and the TV's open. You have these people on television, and they have a show about trying to figure out who's the custody of a child. And they're on national TV, and they got people arguing about, well, the baby belongs to this man. And one woman thinks the baby belongs, you got two women there. And they both believe that this man is the father of their baby, and they're making money off people's sin, basically. And they're wondering, and I, like I said, I never watched anyone, but they always show a snippet of somebody collapsing at the end because everybody's shocked about who the baby actually belongs to. But that's not the way it is when you get saved. You know who your father is. You have security in that. God perfectly makes you one of His own children. And the devil can't do anything about that. He puts you in the Father's hand. And the Bible says no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. That's enough. That's enough for a song, amen. That's a good song. I'm His. I belong to Him. I'm a child of the King. Next thing we see, number four, we talk about the great need of a new song. A new song is public. A new song is public. Because David says here, verse number three, He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Notice this. Many shall see it. That new song, you know, when God, remember, the new song has a heavenly origin because God put it there. And that new song is personal because God put it in your mouth. And a new song is praise for it. It legitimately lifts up God. And that song is so powerful, amazing, that many shall see it. Why? Because God put it in you so it could be seen. So it could be visible. So it could be known that God put a song in you that is different. A song that praises Him on account of His perfections instead of on account of our question marks regarding Him and our question about His character. A new song says God is right in everything. God is excellent in His works. You know, excellent means there's no defections. There's no imperfections. When I was in school occasion, I got a paper that came back and it said excellent on it. And it said 100%. That means there was not anything wrong with every answer. Everything was right. And God is excellent. Everything is right about God. And that's the song that God puts in your heart. And He wants to put in the hearts of many people. Why? Because He is right. And when that song gets out, that song is a song that tells people you can trust God. But the songs that don't have heavenly origin, you know what they do? There's no real security. There's no real victory. There's no real strength. At least the song, it's like David, just the need, the song we're talking about today, is the ones we need. and it's personal, it's public. Many shall see it. Here's the good news. A new song is powerful. A new song is powerful because a new song, it does something, the Bible says. It says many shall see it and fear. First thing I want you to notice is a new song reaches the multitudes. A new song reaches the multitudes. Many shall see it. Can you think about that? You know, the song, the many songs that transcended down through the years because they're put there by God and multitudes of people. And we sing songs right now in these hymn books. Multitudes of people have been reached and heard because of God putting a new song in the mouth of somebody. Many heard it. Many shall see it. And so a new song reaches the multitudes. And here's a good thing. A new song causes people to fear God. It says, many shall see it and shall fear. You know, what's missing today is the fear of God. The fear of God is really a respect of God. I wrote down a long definition of fear of God. It says the worship of God. The fear of God is reverence, respect. It's due regard. It means you're really thinking about God in His rightful way. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe. That means like, wow, God. Or reverence of God and His laws. So not just a reverence of God, the person, but His laws. The things He wrote, they're all right. And which springs from a just view, that means a right view of God, and a real love of the divine character. See, a new song that God puts in you, it causes people to have a love for God's divine character. Not just the things that pertain to us, but the divine character. And a new song does that. It causes people to fear. That's what David says here. And leading is subjects to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being. See, a new song causes people, you know what, I hate things that are evil. I hate things that will offend God. That's what a new song does. The Bible says, many shall see it here and they'll fear God. And it causes his subjects to aim at perfect obedience. A new song says, you know what, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can actually do, since God said I can actually do what God said I can do. See, that's a new song. That's not the songs we're hearing today. There's many of the songs we're hearing today, and by the way, I'm not talking about, I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm not really talking about music. I'm talking about the praise. I'm talking about this coming out. There's the people that the voices, and it does come to music also. But there's not many songs of complete victory in Christ. And David says the song that God put in his heart, it's powerful. It reaches a multitude, but it causes people to fear God. A new song causes people really to believe in God's character, and they see Him properly, and they really hate sin, because it says to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being. Why would the new song do that? Well, what did my brother just read? Because things that offend God is sin. And sin is why people go through those awful tragedies that my brother read from the Word of God that people will go through. You know, it's funny, you know, if you think, you know, we're so self-centered beings, you know, we hate certain sins. All of us have certain things that grate us, get under our nerves. You know why? Because of how it affects us. You know, God had the Word of God read today in such a way that we might be grated by what affects other people. If we could esteem others better than ourselves, then we would change our priorities. And we change what we've given our life unto. That's why every moment is the opportunity to witness for Christ. And thinking about it, I was thinking today, Psalm 37 says, like thyself also in the Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I was remembering, Mark asked me, I can't remember, several years ago, he asked me, when did you become full-time in the ministry? And I said, the moment I surrendered to God. And I was thinking about that because at that moment, I've asked myself different times, you know, Lord, I see other people working, and this is not a reflection of anybody else or anything at all, but I'm thinking, man, Lord, why did you allow me to be full-time in the ministry? Because He gave me the desire of my heart. Because that was my passion, the moment From the moment I got saved, I began to give and to serve. I used every waking moment to serve people and to serve the Lord. And God gave me more time to do that with desire of my heart. The thing I had to learn was many times I put other people before my family. I had to figure out how to do that to get the balance in order for that. But it was always my passion from the moment I got saved to be a servant and to preach Christ everywhere I went. And God gave me that desire of my heart. I was thinking of the Lord, because God just put it on the Lord, thank you. I never really thought about it that way, but I realized that's what happened because my delight was Him. And my desire was, Lord, give me more time just to do Your work and to do Your will. Whatever it takes. And that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, I pulled that bread truck in the street. And I was working 80 hours a week, but I still took time to witness to absolutely everybody I could talk to Christ about. That may be why I took 80 hours. I'm not sure. That's probably part of the problem. But praise God, I got to preach Christ. Amen. But a new song is powerful. It reaches the multitudes. Does your song cause people to really hate sin? Does your song cause people to really aim at perfect obedience to the Lord? Does my song, because this is for all of us, does my song cause people to aim at perfect obedience to God? I'm telling you, victory is real. Amen. we can live this life. Hold your place here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we looked at this, I think, a few weeks ago. But you know I don't mind repetition. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know, y'all don't mind repetition either. Some of you like to get paid every time you work. So you don't mind repetition, do you? Can I get a witness? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice the Bible says in verse number 14. You tell me the power of this song. He says, now, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth the triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and in them that perish. You know, when we triumph in Christ, which is God's plan, we remind people of Christ. The song reminds people of Christ. Those that are saved, that triumph says, no, man, Christ is real. And them that perish, that triumph says God is real. They may choose to deny Him, but they cannot deny the fact that He's real. And the new song reaches the multitudes. And the new song causes people to fear God. Now, they may yield to Satan instead and reject that fear. Or they may finally realize, you know, that's my answer. To the one, verse 16, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and the other savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? I was at the border picking up some food in Buffalo the other day, and I was preaching Christ to these men in there, and I was telling them how when I was sharing the goodness of God, I said the magnitude of this. I said, really, what I'm talking to you, because he was saying, well, people shouldn't really put religion on people. I know you need to argue in the faith. And I said, no, the Bible, he's quoting a verse saying that, I know we need to, I can't think of how he quoted it, but the verse he was partially quoting was this verse, which says, be ready always to give an answer to any man of the reason of the hope that lies within you. What we need to be ready to give an answer to the reason of the hope. You can't do that if you don't have a new song. Because you don't have hope. This is why this is so important, so powerful. The readiness that we need to have is to give the reason of the hope. You know, everything you just read, I was thinking that's terrible, that's sad, that people are going to go through that damnation, that destruction. But you know, I've got hope because God saved me. And I've got hope that I can get to somebody else before they have to go through this. And that, to me, I have hope that this meeting is not in vain. The tract that I passed out this past week is in vain. The people I talked to about Christ is not in vain. I have hope because of the new song that He put in my mouth. He brought people to me that they preached Christ to me. And some of them walked away from me, and I was still lost. When I say walked away, they didn't leave me, but they did all they can do. And they had no idea later that that message of Christ that they shared with me was going to eat away at my heart. And one day, at the right time, the Holy Ghost would put it all together and boom, I would give my life to Christ and be born again. And then the new song came. Amen. It came down from heaven. Amen. And it's a powerful song. Amen. It came with praise. God, you're right about everything. I've been living my own way, doing all these things, thinking I was it, thinking I was the man, all these things. I thought the world revolved around me, and now I realize the world revolves around you. Help me to live like that. And that new song, I could help make it public. You know, I just, most places I go, I go singing. I don't know. Was I singing on the bus this morning? I don't know. I said something. I was singing in Christ alone. Maybe I didn't get loud like I do sometimes, but I was talking to the bus driver a little bit. But I always try to go somewhere singing because it gets to people. They say, why are you so happy? Well, because God is good, amen. But a new song is powerful. It reaches the multitudes. It causes people to fear God. A new song causes people to trust in the Lord. You see that in the text. It says here in verse 4, blessed, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Not religion, but the Lord. That's what the new song does. That's why we need new songs. Because we need people to trust the Lord more than ever. People are perishing all around us. People, even God's children, don't have a real desire to live for Him. Because they don't trust Him. I think the many years of my life that I didn't complete, as a child of God, my trust for God wavered back and forth. I thought, Lord, I'm so sorry, but I'm thankful for one of your children. But God, I sure want to finish in complete faith to you. That song you put in my heart, I've got to sing it. I've got to make it public again. It's got to get out because it makes a difference. It's powerful. It reaches the multitudes. It causes people to fear God. Why would you, as a child of God, why would you want other children of God to fear God? Well, because sin hurts people. Do we understand that sin destroys people? Disobedience destroys God's purpose and plan for us. Didn't happen with King Saul. We see more grace now than we did in his age, but you know, God had a great plan for King Saul, but he was disobedient and violated that plan. God has a great plan for all of us. And if we don't respect and fear sin, let me say it properly. When we fear God, we love what God loves, and because we fear God, we hate what God hates. Because He drives our motivation. You know, if you ever around little children, if you ever have influence little children, if they like you, they want to be like you, and you'll find a little child that has an affection for you, they'll like what you like. They hear you say something, they'll even try to talk like you talk. They'll try to like what you like. If they hear you don't like something, they'll try not to like that too. If they really adore you, that's what a new song does too. But the new song is different. It didn't cause people to like us. It causes us to like Him and to love the Lord. The new song causes people to trust the Lord. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. And that leads to the last thing. A new song causes people to be blessed. Because number 4, it says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And the Lord is your trust. You're blessed. You know, we say we love people sometimes. If we do, then if you're saved, they need to hear the song God put in your heart. Because if you're saved, there really is a song there. You may be so far away from God you can't sing it right now. But that's when you just need to repent and get back to Him. And like the Bible says, rediscover your first love. And when you rediscover that first love, you find, well, I remember, amen. I remember that song. And you just start singing that song again, and you'll be amazed some people will hear it. Amen. And so many will be glad. I was singing in the Walmart this morning at this store, you know, and just amazing influence people. People look around sometimes, and sometimes I'm walking, I'm singing, and I'm thinking, God is a blessing. And I think, I thought, could they really even hear the words I was saying from the distance? And I didn't really think I was singing that loud, but that was beautiful. But I realized I had the Holy Ghost PA system. Because of what the psalmist said here, many shall hear it. And you know, God's not beyond. If you're singing the message, I believe He can amplify that and bring it into, and maybe I'm just getting older, I can't hear that well. Maybe I'm louder than I think. Well, I think so. My wife tells me sometimes, why are you yelling? And we're just talking about something in the house, you know. I think sometimes I'm part Italian, you know. But anyway, God can amplify that, to hear that song. Why? Because God knows the power of a new song. You know, Tim and Chris Wallace had a song. I just remember seeing the joy on them. Jerry and Phyllis Palmer, they had a song. I can't think of the guy. I can picture him. The guy, sandy blonde hair, had glasses, and he had a song. When I sold cars years ago before I came to Christ, and I wish I remember that guy's name. And I realized something I didn't have. That man feared evil, you know. In old Western movies, they used to have what they call divining rod. They take sticks and they go out and find water one day. And I can't remember this guy's name, but I'll just say Fred, for instance. I made a little paper clip one day, and I was walking through there, and I said, hey, I've got a divining rod. And he looked at me. He wasn't joking. He said, brother, that's of the devil. And I thought, wow, this guy's intense. But I realized something. He had a song. And I realized that he really had a fear of God, which caused him to reverence anything that had an association with unfruitful works of darkness. And he reproved it by the name of Jesus Christ. And that was a good song, because he realized, I thought to myself, well, maybe this stuff's more serious than I realized. So I thought he was crazy for a while. But I realize now, he just had a song. And this song later, after that song, I think, wow. I wish I could go back and find him and tell him that his song made a difference in my life. I can't think of another guy. Native American. He was a preacher, and he could I ask him the question? Because he's Native American, and Susan and I were praying about getting. We weren't praying. We were trying to decide about getting married. We were lost heathens, and he talked to me biblically about the interracial situation, because his wife had his daughter had married a white person, he would call him, you know, and he was Native American, and he admitted how he had struggles with it. He said, I studied the Bible, but I couldn't find anything wrong with it, you know. And it's funny how God puts you in different places. I'm staying in a pastoral retreat, and there's a lady there from a different missionary and mission agency, and she's from Tennessee. You know anything about the South? It's the South, amen. And she's engaged to a man from Cambodia. And I said, God sent me here, didn't he? She said, yeah, it's a little different, people in Tennessee, about what we're going through right now. We get a lot of strange looks, you know. But I had a song to sing, and told to testify to different things that God put in my life, and just shared Christ. What I'm trying to say is there's a great need for contemporary music, or radio new music. Because the song that David had, you know what? We're still hearing that song today. We're getting encouraged by the songs of David. The song, you know, when you read David, you read sometimes when he's low, but in every single low time, you find the deliverance of God. See, that's the difference in David's song than opposed to a lot of songs we hear today. We hear about the woe. But we don't hear at the end of that woe, that great victory in the Lord. That's what distinguishes the song that God puts in your mouth. Yeah, we're going to have some trials. Yeah, we have some difficulties. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into direst temptation. Why? Because that temptation brings opportunity for the glory of glory to be glorified in your life, and He'll be exalted, amen? And it'll cause people to fear God, because they'll realize that even in the darkest and the most difficult situations, those things that you thought you could never do, never make it through, God is sovereign. God has the power to lift you up, to strengthen you. Even when nobody else thinks you can make it, He can make a way. And then people think, wow. If God's that serious about deliverance, He might be that serious about sin. So maybe for all of God's sake, you know what, maybe I ought to get any evil thing out of my life. Maybe you have some divining rods in the day, some little things you don't think it's any big deal, but just things you think are funny. associated with the worship of darkness. Now, you know, I wouldn't walk around trying to worship the devil with a divining rod. I thought it's funny because TV was what filled my mind. And but he said, any instrument. Do you understand that any instrument, any association with the works of darkness is a tool of damnation? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's why the Bible says fools make a mock of sin. And Satan kind of causes it to be kind of casual towards sin and to make a mock. And I'm always trying to purify different things I've thought through the years. Sometimes you should joke about a verse, even sometimes you even joke about a verse and, you know, twist in the context to make a funny thing, you know. And I've tried to not do that anymore because this is not a trivial book. This is a powerful book. This is the words of God. But the song that David had said, you know what, yeah, I've gone through some situations. I was in a horrible pit, but God brought me out of it. I was trying to think of that one that says, many are the troubles of righteousness, but the Lord delivered me out of all of them, or something like that. God delivers all. That's the song that we have. Do you understand? And if you believe that song, and if you see somebody actually singing that song, somebody that's been through something, somebody walks through something, that's what God lets us walk through things so people can see Christ. Why? You know, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ next Sunday. But you know, we couldn't celebrate a resurrection if it wasn't a miserable, agonizing, cruel death. A death that the Savior volunteered for. A death that the Savior walked into. A death that the Savior laid His life down for, knowing that even though Satan thought... You know, think of it. Satan thought he was doing that. Satan thought he was controlling all that. Satan thought, man, I finally got it. I finally got the victory. And that's what he thinks about you when you're going through a trial. Until somebody comes by and sings a song. And he thought, man, I finally got it. He's dead. Day one's over, you know. Man, he's not going anywhere. They put that stone there, too. That dead body ain't coming out of there. Day number two, got him. He's dead. Day number three, man. Three to number of perfection. He's dead. He's not coming out of there now. And oh, he openly spoiled them. He basically told them how long if he did, and he told them when I'm coming by there. You know, I just wondered, did Satan have nervous anticipation that day? Was he wondering at what hour? Did he really think it was over? And who knows if he even how well he knew the prophecy and things like that? Who knows about all how his mind is? Because we know he's not omniscient like God is. And either way, Satan found out that God could keep His word. Amen. And when you and I go through trials and we find that God can keep His word, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. See, just if it's just religious experience, there's no real victory in that, because when did you ever get it? When do we ever really know? But if there's a birth, whatever you see in me, as just humanly speaking, no matter what you see, no matter what you think, there's one undeniable fact about me that you know today. I'm alive. Now, humanly speaking, and when you've been born again, there may be a lot of things you may not know, but when you've been born, you know you're alive. And you begin, and when God puts that song in your mouth, don't think they might not want to hear it right now. No, you just sing it. Because that song, yeah, it's personal. You know, people say, well, I don't like to discuss religion and politics. That's what they say. It's personal. No, but the song he gave you is not meant to be. It's meant to be personal. But it's meant to be so overwhelmingly personal. When you begin to praise him, it's got to be public. Somebody's got to hear what God did for me. And not just what he did for me, what he did to me. Because what he did for me and what he did to me, he did it for you and anybody else. Amen. And then, as we already said, it's powerful. You know, we think, well, all the multitudes here, what can be done? Well, if I believe the Bible, and you believe the Bible, sounds like a new song will make the difference. How can it reach many people? Well, he said a new song, because he said many shall see it. But if you keep your song to yourself, can't go anywhere. Well, you say, well, you know, I just get discouraged. I don't see anybody really trying to, I don't see anybody fear. The fear of God is not like what it used to be. People don't take sin seriously. And well, start singing.
Amen.
Start singing. I said before, but the reason I got to preach a funeral recently, and I met Carol. I was on the corner. I remember I was at Dowling. So remember, I was at the corner of, not Dowling. I was at corner Triller on Queen Street. I was on the corner. I had some tracks in my hand. And I was just singing and praising God. And many times I do that, people stop and look across. I've seen people while I'm singing out there, they'll stop and some will just start weeping. Because in the midst of their hopelessness, they can see hope, but they don't know what to do about it. I mean, first time I came to Toronto, I was on a survey trip. I was with some men from Toronto Baptist Church. We were downtown on the square. We were street preaching. I never street preached before. And now I listened to the way they were doing it, and I thought, well, I was there street preaching. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to do this. And so they said, well, Harvey, it's your turn. So I just started singing. And I started singing, and then, as you know, then I just started preaching. And I preached John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And many people that, you know, were trying to pass out tracts, and they, once they heard the preaching, they start coming to get the tracts because of the song. Because the song brought them, the preacher, I've been singing a little while, I preached a little while, and we got the multitudes of people, got to get some songs for them. And before, while I was singing while he was preaching, and that's how I started. Right? That's how I started. He was preaching, I was singing. I was a few steps away, and I would start singing and singing, and we'd pass our tracts and then preach later, and we'd multitudes of people. A new song would make the difference. Imitation is simple. Do you have a song? Do you have a new song? All of us have a song. We can sing the blues, but do you have a song that you know God put in your mouth? If you do, sing it. Sing it. Sing it publicly. Sing it everywhere. Why? Because you say, well, but nobody wants to hear it. Well, because you're not singing it. You don't know that. Many shall hear it. Many shall see it. That's interesting the way God said that, isn't it? Many shall see it, the song. He didn't say many shall hear it, but many shall see it. That means that song will really bring to life what he put in your heart. And they'll fear. And see, you know what? Maybe sin's not always cracked up to be. You know why so many people love sin, want to love God? Not enough people singing. You know, it's funny. God knows what he's doing. You know, music is a powerful tool. Speaking of music now. And if we could just get God's people to sing. And not sing just any old thing, but sing the song that he put in your mouth. Song, if you're saved, that means you have a song of damnation. Because you were in the pit. You knew you were lost. But you also have a song of deliverance. Because, hey, he freed you, amen. Saved, you got a song of deliverance. And if you've been singing your song, then you have a song of daily victory. But if you stop singing, you're going to listen to somebody else's song. And that's why Satan uses worldly music so much. Because worldly music exalts the flesh. And what is the flesh? The flesh is no good thing. We can't get power. We can get, you know, there's some motivational things in music that kind of encourage the flesh to go for a while. But if we believe the Bible, it's all vanity. We can't see it right now. But it's coming eventually, as we heard about from the book of Revelation, different passages today. The most powerful, you understand, the Bible says that eat the flesh of kings. That means the most powerful people on earth are going to be as nothing before God when he casts his judgment. So no matter what level you arise to in the flesh, when God comes, it'll mean absolutely nothing. You must be born again. If you're born again, Don't hold back the song God put in your heart. Start singing. It will make a difference. There's a great need for God's people to sing the song that He put in their mouth. And you'll find out that you can change the environment of people around you. I like to go in there, like I said, I've told you before, but that's why I like to go in the subway singing sometimes, because sometimes you know, in the subway, it's almost, you feel like, I watch people feel like people riding to the Holocaust chamber. Like they've been riding all be executed. It's so dead and so silent, you think everybody's going to die here. And so I just go and start singing. And everybody starts thinking, man, who's this guy? But it changes. Some people start smiling. They have their head down and everything, you know. And just praise God. And so I just get on and say, okay, this is the happy train now. I said, who's aboard? Who's with me, you know? And then they start singing, you know. And you can go in and you can let, and think about it, you can go and let the environment control you, or you can live the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you and control the environment around you. Yes. That's what God wants us to live. Yes. That's why He left us here. Light always has a power over darkness. Yes. That's why He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But you got to shine. He said, you're the light, just shine. Amen. Father, so many more things I'd like to say. But I thank You for putting a new song in my mouth. Lord, I wish I'd sung it more in the many years You've saved me. But God, I thank You for just the times You've led me to sing it, and I've been obedient. I pray You'll lead every child of God in this room today to sing like they've never sung before. And to sing it from the heart. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not have a song in their heart, they know they've never been saved. They know they've never been born again. They've been doing religious things, been active and busy, but they know they've never been born again. Could You give them the faith to end their religious search today and simply believe on the finished work, the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Give them the faith to believe that when Jesus died and rose from the grave, that when He manifested that power of life and death, if they trusted Him, He'd save them eternally and make them one of His children. Give them the faith to make that decision today. Lord, thank You. Your perfect will be done.